time we have a special guest, we purposefully don't tell them how we begin our podcast.
It's like baptism through giggles.
It's like a piñata of joy.
That's right. But we just find that if you start with a really high vibration, there's lovely places you can go.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and let's go all of those places.
All of them. So, friends, we have a very special guest with us here in our podcast land today. This is a person who Kristen and I first met because they attended Create Workshops. And then he would raise his hand to speak, and then Kristen and I would basically just fall on the ground and say, whoa, would you like to come and just lead this class? Because everything you are saying is bringing us to our knees with truth.
And I don't know if you know this. I've known Eric forever. I've known him for 10 million years.
My wife had a secret relationship that I was not aware of.
I had no idea you didn't know this. But Eric and I have known each other since our early 20s. So for me, it was no big surprise when he would open up in Create.
See, I was just like, who's this handsome man saying all the deep truths? I see.
What I think is really interesting, and who we are talking about, and we'll just jump in, is Mr. Eric Lieberman.
I thought it was clear, but I realized no one could see me.
He is an activist. Mm-hmm. He is a messenger. He is a mystic. He is an author. He is a divine spiritual healer. His gifts are bigger than his body. And
just like all the rest of us.
And he has so many gifts. And one of them that I know we all know and we are in awe of is your intuitive ability to come into a space and to feel what's going on in it spiritually.
Yeah. Spatial acupuncture.
Spatial acupuncture. Mm.
Yeah.
But I first met Eric as an actor, and I know his great healing work happens when he's on stage, too. Mm. Yeah. He has a way of accessing that point of healing and doing it for the entire audience. Mm. One of the great things I feel like of knowing Eric for so long is it feels to me like you and I both had a deep, I want to say spiritual opening, but maybe it was just a revelation of who we both were at our core that I think we recognized upon our first meeting.
Yes.
And then there was time where we were apart where lots of unveiling occurred.
Yes.
To come back and go, oh, we both have processes.
Yes. Well, life as we know is one long now, wearing the mask of time. And when there is familiarity at first greeting, it is normally because we have met somewhere along the chain and we are having an interface with that which has been and that which must be. So you and I met long ago and far away as wearing different iterations of our respective space suits, which allowed us to filter as much as we could handle of each other through ourselves, through the lens of ourselves at that time. And now that we are unfettered by those thick glasses, we see each other and ourselves through each other more clearly. So when Eric, friends, if you hear Eric, if you hear me refer to myself as Eric or we, it's because we are joined today by guides, which are infusing our message with more than the single bandwidth that Eric is capable of administering. Hopefully that makes sense. Mm-hmm. When we were 17, there was a near-death experience. So Eric left his body and had direct encounter with us, which was a reflection for him as to his infinite nature and the fact that life does not end whether or not we shuck or inhabit the physical encasement known as our humanity. Since then, we have at every opportunity sought to support Eric in enlivening others to the truth of their perpetual nature and the fact that fear has no rightful place, usurping the genius which wishes to inhabit each and every one of us and serve like a fire hose to nourish, break down walls, and help others float who might be weighted down by the density of their beliefs or their inherited conditioning. We did not expect to show up so quickly in this podcast.
I think we did. Well, I think we were very hopeful and excited that this may occur.
Well, we're coming out more and more in more quotidian ways because there is less concern for hiding our truest nature. There is less time, as humankind identifies it, to conceal that which must be that which we must be made aware of as a single universal life force wearing the mask of billions and billions of creatures on this planet, most of whom believe they are distinct and separate from others.
Well, and I think that is why we believe in create, we believe in community,
yes,
and oneness,
yes,
and we believe that separation is the only lie and all the other lies come from that place. So we want to, through create, encourage everyone to know that we are one and there's
indeed
no competition in spirit.
Exactly. And most importantly, to foster an environment where direct encounters with the divinity in others as an extension of our own, and that is why you are entirely successful at that venture. There are many building blocks which allowed human beings to assert an apparent evidence of their differences from one another. The encasements of male and female and white and non-white and every other distinguishment we have grown much too comfortable in making to wear our individual identities as a badge of honor. Now we are witnessing the collapse of such categorization and being forced into direct encounters with the eternal through each other. Those who wish to cling to an identity which has allowed them to assert a sense of distinguishment from other human beings will not succeed for a great amount of time. We are attempting to sound normal, but
don't bother.
You are quite correct, Kristen, which is not actually your name, but it is in the way that most humans can metabolize you. That is how we identify you, as you called this person, Eric. Kristen, the job of the artist is as a channel to reflect the limitless potential of ourselves and each other. And so, when we assume less than total responsibility and fun for inhabiting as many genuses of humankind, we actually miss out on the deepest opportunity, which is, in fact, to recognize identical twinship with other beings of all different shapes and sizes and kinds. When Eric debuted on Broadway, in one track he had to play Adolf Hitler. When you look at the encasement of Eric, you know he is sourced biogenealogically through much Judaism, which signaled an apparent conflict of interest to play someone so reviled for extinguishing a great many members of his tribe. And yet, we had to support him in locating the humanity and the young visual artist whose creative drive was pushed errantly vis-a-vis his rejection to art school and the squashing of his artistic vision, which then reconfigured itself in quite a dramatic, destructive form, which is apparent now to a great degree in our own administration. When people do not claim responsibility for their expression, they start trying to puppeteer others who are exercising their freedoms and destroy the reflection of their own unclaimed shadow selves, which long to thrive in the light, which is why the pursuit of the vision which has been given unto each and every one of us is of utmost importance, and pushing aside concern for physical survival becomes easier when you recognize no creative vision was given unto you without the seed support to fulfill it and the capacity to survive, which is a crux concern for many artists, that they will not survive without money in their chosen field. Money symbolizes our capacity to receive and share. And many artists are terrified to receive that which they truly want, which is why an interface such as Create is useful in creating a runway, a sizable and spacious runway for our dreams to arrive. It's no use wishing if you haven't the space to receive, which means daring to sit in quiet and in what seems to be not having until that which has been inculcated vibrationally arrives materially, at which point, here's a clue, it means much less to you than it did on the vibrational plane, because by that point that it has manifested, we are already on to the next vibrational quest for upgrade.
Could you talk to our listeners a bit more about, you talked about how you know, one must dare to sit in silence and
yes.
be brave enough to sit in silence.
Yes.
Can we talk, I would love if you would allow it to come through you, why there's so much resistance to being silent.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's two part. The first part, in which the component through which we do not help ourselves and in fact inhibit ourselves, is through an addiction which has been deliberately designed technologically through our technology. So the refractory result of retraining our nervous system to believe there is always something better over there in someone else's status or photograph or booking cripples us to accepting the state we are currently in. We do not recognize that people do not report 24/7 about what is happening during the other hours of their day. So to be baited by the illusion that we can never arrive fast enough entrains our nervous system to believe that sitting still is worthless, That is number one. Number two, most of us run from our sorrow. There are very few trainings other than in the East which encourage one to sit with their sorrow and not reach for a drink, a food, a sex, a technology, and anything except the Russian dolls, which will continue to reveal ourselves, themselves, until what is left is the seed of eternity at the seat of it all. And so if we permit ourselves the courage to float gently down into the very base of our longing, which is the seat of our disappointments and our sorrows, and understand that our longing's source is in fact our deep love and our desire to share and to connect and to play. And if we can return to that point of innocence which we had on the very playground where we grew up, we will find perceived rejections or doors closing much less damaging. And recognize that our tribe summons us as strongly as we long for them. However, if our sunglasses and our iPads and our eye devices, if our heads are turned down, we often miss the evidence which universe is attempting to provide us that we are not alone. Which can come in forms as simple as dew on a leaf, a feather falling from the sky, a dog looking at us through the eyes of compassion. It is most important at this time, as banal as it sounds, to not only do the furtive legwork of petition signing, demonstrating, and that which you feel inspired to do to recreate the world as you wish it to be known, but to literally take time to smell the flowers and to appreciate the sky and the sun as and while we have it, because it is never to be recreated as it is today. The gentlest and simplest things are our teachers of gratitude and will remind us that we have merely borrowed these spacesuits we call human, and soon will shuck them, but must leave fertile ground for others to grow upon, not desiccated earth. Even if we do so, the earth will replenish itself, but as humble guests of this planet, it would behoove us to treat her better. We're not mincing words. And we wish for this to be received with a light heart, but also an attentive one. It's time to claim responsibility for putting to bed our more personal concerns, doing the work to wade through and heal them and metabolize and reconstitute them, our younger selves, with our older current selves, so that we may walk in the world and truly be of service. Which is not to say the human system will not continually present obstacles for us to look at, but that is what we call in the realm pegging the fifth dimension, meaning we purposely keep humans slightly troubled in their dimension so they retain their need for human form, which allows us to infuse them as instruments of change. What more?
I have a question. You were talking about our ability to receive.
Yes.
And that often human beings have a limited amount to that they will allow themselves to receive, though they feel they have a big appetite. Yeah. And so there seems to be this disconnect that causes an uncomfortability for people. I was wondering if you could speak more to that, because I think that it would resonate for so many people listening.
Of course. Well, dogs are a good reminder, because when you see a dog lying on its back in the grass with its legs apart, its limbs apart, welcoming the touch on its belly, one is reminded of a baby lying on its back in a crib, assuming that its needs will be met, whether it be being held or fed or changed. Unfortunately, many are birthing children and not accepting responsibility for these bonding efforts, which leaves a hole in the child to seek them out externally into perpetuity unless they address this gaping fissure. We, even in those of us where needs for survival have been met, conditioning falls upon us, such as, it's okay for you to say that and I will hug you, but if you do that or do not eat that, I will not hug you. If you touch yourself in that fashion, you are inappropriate. And so very slowly, through direct cause and effect and the desire to feel loved, child begins to develop a maze around themselves, whereby the cheese is quite convolutedly placed on the other side of a great amount of conditions, and we start walking through life with a nervous system understanding or false belief that if I show up in such a fashion, I will be fed and accepted. Of course, then as we enter adulthood, not everybody agrees with the conditioning our parents or our caregivers or caretakers showered us with. So one partner says your offering is shite, and the other one says it's too much. And we start, or rather continue, finding ourselves functioning in a hall of mirrors, whereby we attempt to reconcile our truth or what should be an internal barometer with the feedback received by others, as though they contain a higher power than ours. The point of stillness, meditation, existing with one's sorrow, accepting responsibility for one's therapy and vibration and artistic endowment, is to reclaim ourselves as the lighthouse, the central light source through which we view and illumine others' paths, but we do not depart the lighthouse in order to curry favor with those whom we do not actually even know or understand, the hall of mirrors from which their conditions and projections emerge from. So do you see, in this game of attempting to please and not offend or get people to like you, you do not even know the truth of how likable you are, because you yourself haven't loved you in the truest sense, which is sourced, dear friends, for a great many of us, we sense, in an inability to say yes to our no. Saying no is most important, because it is in essence saying yes to a direction we may be pointing you on a map you cannot clearly see yet, but we will give you signals of it if you are still enough to receive us. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And I often think, when you talk about the trying to please, for artists, we're not only trying to please others with what we present ourselves to be,
yes,
but with what we present our art and our expression to be.
Yes.
Could you maybe speak about how we could,
yes,
tune into more authenticity,
yes,
there?
Yes, indeed. To begin, the greatest artistic expression which is waiting to happen through you has not happened yet, and it does not look like that which has come through anyone else. Everyone else before you is a mere stepping stone to the iteration you are meant to inhabit. The transmission of that purpose, that new and improved iteration or download of the operating system, is being given unto you each day and, in fact, in each moment, if you remain privy to it. So an attempt to replicate, this is why theater can be a great teacher, any attempt to replicate that third thing which was created between the interpreter and the audience, the other interpreters, on a given day or at a given performance, it cannot be replicated. It is a function of today, where one is standing on the shoulders of that which has passed and that which the audience needs, which we may not even be aware of, but which is drawing from us that which must be seen. We would suggest that the great interpreters, or one might call them in human terms icons, were unlike anyone who came before. And yet they had to emerge. And so we would support our friends in daring to listen to the unique iteration of the divine they are being called forth to stand for, speak for, write for, direct for, so that the name of the game becomes becoming a magnet oneself for collaborators, instead of searching like a beggar in the house of other people's plenty. This is the misconstruction in the eyes of most artists which has been perpetuated through society. But retracting the fishing wires, as it were, which are in a million different directions, hoping somebody somehow catches onto our hook. Retracting that, knowing we are enough, we have what it takes, and it is incumbent on us to create the art forms we wish to see in the world, taking note of the people we wish to hire, the people we wish to provide opportunity for, instead of feeling beholden or at effect of, quote, an industry, when in fact we are that industry. We are the business. So, in the words of our friend Gandhi, be the change you wish to see. Become it. And you see, the reason one must grow comfortable with solitude is because there may not be that many pats on the back for a little while. It simply has to be good enough for you. You are the arbiter of your own success. What's interesting about perceived success is that which one perceives to be success in another, for the person in the chamber of that perceived success, it is merely the waiting room for the next place, and often they are trapped in their own angina and agita around not being where they wish to be ultimately. The game is simply to grow at ease and playful in the respective waiting rooms so that we can appreciate them as much as the surfing on the wave once it surges beneath us.
I would love to ask about Eric's spiritual journey.
Yes.
And from that car accident you mentioned when he was 17.
No accident. Near-death experience.
Near-death experience,
yes.
And from that near-death experience in the first meeting, with the trajectory was like, and the process of his own unfolding and becoming.
Yes. Well, the experience for us through Eric was that he arrived old, and in the final permutation of his humanity. And so there was an awareness of a lack of physical time to complete his mission. That mission being a very large mission of awakening. And so childhood and youth were often wonderful and trying. Wonderful because through the allowance of his family, his sensitivities were not shut down. And he was raised doing things such as seeing auras or bending metal. Things which he thought were normal and which actually are. But other children were playing football and joining the Boy Scouts. So there came a moment at which he had departed the nest of home, so to speak, and was met with many who had no clue as to the level at which he perceived the world and perceived the perceived others' energies and the unity between us and not only animals but elements and what one considers inanimate objects, which are made of atomic material, they too are impacted by our energy and are us. The gift of 17 for Eric was merely a piece of substantiation of that which he had intuited, and he had been met by many teachers before 17 who recognized this potential in him, other channels, other high-level guides who forced him out of childhood rather quickly and to accept responsibility for the depth at which he perceived. The death at 17 allowed us to give Eric a more advanced sensor by which he remains able to see people at all ages, in addition to those who they have perceived to have been left behind by, so much of which remains unseen to those who do not exist with the curiosity and drive to find it, exists in Eric. The game for him then became how to exist within 9-to-5 human physical settings and dealing with being a broader or more intense frequency than many humans were ready for, which he took very personally. At this stage in his evolution, however, there are many more who have emerged and whose antenna are elevated to receive such camaraderie and, in some cases, guidance, encouragement, and the compression on the planet has also yielded more diamonds, and also the chipping away at familiar ground, which most of us took for granted that we would have forever. So, for Eric, the job is, as long as he is in physical body, to touch and enlighten and enliven as many beings as possible, whether or not this remained through his art, as it is currently recognized, is beyond the point, because life becomes one's work of art, and one can operate in total service and silence sitting in a cave. Although the motion at this point seems to be speaking from a wider platform, since these means are available to us, might as well make use of them, such as this podcast, to reach more people in less time, with a message not born of hate or division or sleepiness, but one of wakefulness and caring. And also, not delaying. What we mean by that is, Eric had grandparents who said to him, through their behavior, do not wait to say I love you, thank you, I am sorry, please forgive me before you go to sleep at night. And so in so doing, in getting current, so to speak, with the relations in one's life, particularly those with whom we've had troubles, also as that reflects itself through spatial acupuncture, meaning, consider your physical domicile to be an outward reflection of the fluidity of your inner space. If it is congested, clotted, it will be difficult for energies to come and go with ease. And the name of the game is to receive and set free, receive and set free, receive and set free. And some will make themselves more apparent and lasting than others. And they will keep showing up at your door. And that's a wonderful gift, too.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
For being with us in this sharing and offering for the vocation that we've been given as artists. Thank you for helping us honor that and all of the listeners to tune into that.
Yesterday was National Coming Out Day. We suggest to our dear listener friends to come out as the divine and powerful infinite being you actually are. Forget the human label you might feel you have to fall into. Unless you need that to find your tribe in the immediate, but more importantly, come out as the messenger you are in whatever form it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for providing the platform for these messages to flow and be taken as hypotheses, not as laws, so they may be tried on like a jacket or tie and discarded if they do not fit.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Thank you.
We are so grateful, and we are overjoyed that you and all of you came to play and commune and celebrate and explore with us. And we know that so many people that hear this are going to be touched and transformed by this message, and that this message will be digested and, I want to say, like, infused throughout people's lives and their work and their art and their relationships. So thank you.
You're welcome. Final one quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally we... enjoy hiding money in pockets of garments you forgot you left it in.
Ooh.
And we hope that this message or the various parts of it become like little bits of change you find on your person when you least expect it, when you needed it most.
Mm. Oh. That's right. Mm.
That's right.
Little bits of change. Even the penny is important.
And sometimes you reach into your purse and you're like, I didn't know that that $20 was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but do value the pennies.
Mm.
Because they yield the 20s. And when people say, I don't wish for pennies, I only want for 20s, they deny an entire world of abundance.
Mm. Well, thank you. And here is to all of us accepting and receiving the abundance that we are here to also give. And let us be in that reciprocation together with this podcast and these friendships. And with everywhere you go today, smile at a dog, smell a flower, tell someone that their life is important, or whatever way you want to express this message in your life.
Wink at a baby. Let it know.
They know that you know.
If anyone is listening to this podcast and would like more Eric Lieberman in their life, where shall they go?
Well, at the moment, we are on Broadway in War Paint. And then something very interesting approaches thereafter, which we won't speak of for now, but you can visit the website www.ericlieberman.org, and there are of course the usual social media outlets, but best to let one know how you came to know us so we are clearer when we open the door.
Thank you. And thank you to Eric for being a member of our community and available for this time today. And if you enjoyed this podcast, we encourage you to share it with a friend or a non-friend.
Make a friend. That someone may become your friend through listening to this podcast.
Oh, indeed. And thank you also to Jen Rudolph and the Actors Green Room for providing a platform for this create and podcast to take place.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So you guys can check us out at the Create Community Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at the Create Playgroup or at the Actors Green Room for a live class. And thank you for listening as always.
And if you want more of us, you can always go to our website, www.thecreateseries.com.
I always want more of you.
You always have it.
Miss Scoop upon Scoop, I cannot wait to dish myself up for you.
Bye!
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!